Okay. We're supposed to have a 45 minutes of meditation. Now it's 6:40. But I think some of you are on 5 precepts, so you just have your dinner. So I better shift the puja up. So we'll have our evening chanting first. Then after that only I let you have the meditation. Okay. Turn to page 14 of your retreat chanting book. Then we will do the evening chanting. Okay. Ingbi, you use the mic. You know how to chant the Thai tradition? English version, yes. Okay. Earlier on, Lee Hoon help us. So, okay, evening chanting. Dedication of offering.
To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed One, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed One. The teaching so completely explained by Him, I bow to the Dhamma. The Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One.
Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha.
A good word of the Blessed One's reputation has spread as follows. Such indeed is the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the perfectly enlightened One, endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished One, the knower of the world, the incomparable Master or Guide of those to be trained, Teacher of gods and men, the Enlightened One, the Blessed One.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha.
The Buddha, the truly Worthy One, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conquerors, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and guide. The Buddha is sorrow's destroyer, who bestows blessings on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessings of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond timeless, beyond thought, inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma. It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revere the excellent teaching, that which removes darkness, the Dhamma which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the second object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma's servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and guide. The Dhamma is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessing of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha. Of good conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One.
of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One's disciples, namely the four pairs of persons, the eight types of individuals, is worthy of offerings, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gifts, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incomparable field of merits to the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha.
Born of the Dhamma, the Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha formed of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue. I revere that assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity, the Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and guide. The Sangha is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me, there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha.
Okay, we will do the closing homage in Pali. We will chant the Pali version. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suakkato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, then what we will do is we will do the invocation to the Deva. Turn to page 6. I will get Engbi to help to chant the Pali. I will read to you the English. The normal chanting book, page 6. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata. Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho vijjācarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati sati Ta deva manusana buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sandetiko akaliko ehi paseko Opanayiko pachatang veditato vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Nyāya Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Sāmīci Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Yadidāṃ Chattari Purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṃ puññākhetaṃ lokassāti. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu.
Okay, then you turn to page 52 of the retreat version. Tonight, I want to share this discourse on loving kindness, Karaniya Metta Sutta. So this is a very important sutta. It is on metta, but more important is the Buddha is trying to help to explain the importance of this Metta Sutta. Because in the Metta Sutta, the Buddha did mention, he said, he who is skilled in doing good and who wishes to attain the state of calm, Nibbana, should act thus. Yeah. So it seems this Metta Sutta came about during the Buddha's time. There were about 500 monks who went to the forest to meditate. But they were being disturbed by the non-human there. So they had problem. They came back to the Buddha. Then they reported to the Buddha. Then the Buddha taught them this sutta. He said, you chant this with sincerity, with understanding, with faith, then they will not disturb you. You know why this non-human will not disturb them? Yeah? Just now I read to you. Yeah? Because this sutta say, he who is skilled in doing good, yeah, and who wishes to attain the state of calm or nibbana, means enlightenment, yeah, should act thus. That's why they are very interested in listening to this sutta. And you, as a cultivator, also important for you. That's why the devas all, they like this chanting. The last retreat, I think we chanted this one a few times. So this particular sutta is very important. Now I read to you. You try to develop the understanding and check how much of this quality that the Buddha talked about that you possess. So the first part, the English section, version, I will read to you. He who is skilled in doing good and who wishes to attain the state of calm or nibbana, which is the enlightenment, should act thus. The first thing is, he should be able. Able in what sense? Yeah? Able means your karma is not that bad. Yeah? You have all your senses in place. You have a reasonably good body, understand or not? And you are able to cultivate, to do whatever in a normal way, like normal human being. Means he should be able. Able means have this ability to cultivate and to develop all this understanding and wholesomeness. Then the next part is what? He should be upright. Upright means very, very upright, means you don't compromise, understand or not? Because you are very upright, righteous. You are not the one that can discuss on, understand or not? Can compromise on. That one is not upright, understand. So when there is some motive behind, then your righteousness is gone, understand or not? Yeah, you can be bought or you can be influenced. So out of greed, you compromise. So you no longer have that character. So we should have this character, be very upright. Then the third one is, he should be sincere. Now, this is very important. Otherwise, you cannot walk this way. Sincere means sincerity of purpose, sincerity of intention. Everything is being done with sincerity, truthfully. No deceiving. No motive and all those things. Then, obedient. Obedient, you have to be careful. you don't obey anybody. Obedient means your respect for your parent and all those things. But it doesn't mean everything your parent tell you to do, you must do. Or everything your teacher tell you to do, you must do. No. Because the Buddha did tell the Kalamas, you should reflect on it, contemplate on it. If I do, will it harm me? Will it harm others? That is a very important criteria. If it doesn't harm you and doesn't harm others, then maybe there is some usefulness in it. Then if it's something that will harm you or harm others, you need not follow. So obedient in the sense that out of respect, gratitude and understanding, you obey. Obey those that are very good advice, like from your parents. If they meant certain goodness that can lead you to develop your own future and understanding, then you should obey them. But if you have your reason for not obeying, then you should talk it out nicely to them. So this part is more for people who have the understanding. Then if you have people who can guide you, train you, and give you good advice, you should have this ability to obey all those people. Then gentle in speech. Do you have that? Do you have that character to talk to people in a very nice way? Speak all those gentle, pleasant, and good speeches. You have all this, then very likely you can realize the enlightenment. The next one is what? Humble, means humility. That's why reverent salutation. Bring down your ego, develop humility. Then you will have gratitude, respect, contentment. Yeah? Then all those virtue and quality that a virtuous person has. When you have all this, then there is a possibility. So he who is skilled in doing good and who wishes to attain Nibbana should act this way. So you check how many of these you have. You have all of them, then I sadhu you. Rejoice. Then the next one is what? Contented. That's why contentment is a virtue. Easily supportable. Easily supportable means you are very simple. Whatever people provide for you, you will not complain. You will appreciate. You have gratitude. Then you use it. For me, my parents also tell me that, and even my in-law also tell me that, and other people who know me, they tell me that. He said, Brother Teo or Atio, he said, he's very simple. Whatever you give him, he just eat. And he is very simple. He never like other people, oh, like that cannot eat, like that. Then they tell you, hey, no lah, we go out and eat. No. Whatever I am served, I feel gratitude, honored, then I rejoice. Then I just eat. Because I, since young, I have this ability to take simple things. And when I was young, I live life in a very simple way. But as I grow up, when I need to go to work, go to interview, then I realize I have to dress up a bit. That's how I developed the understanding. Last time, I was very simple when I was young. I told you all the story before. Because my family is not well off. Then my mother used to buy, because she's very thrifty, she buy this very cheap cloth, then make her own clothing. My uniform, all she make one. Then you know, she is not a tailor. She don't have measurement, nothing. She just cut, 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 cut. Then she sold it out. Then I dress and go to school. The sleeve long and short one. Sometimes the button, when you button them, all out of alignment. Then my classmates used to laugh at me, make fun of me. Then funny, you know, I don't get angry. You know. I don't feel anything. I say, so what? Go ahead, yo. I am proud that my mother make for me. That's not all. Yours one, you go and buy one. You don't have your mother to do for you. That's how I feel, and that's how I think. You know. Then I say, want to laugh, laugh. Then there was another joke. Well, I was last in the class. So at the end of the year, there's a curriculum card. You remember? You had to put in your ambition or occupation. Ambition. What you want to become. So you know, last time, don't know anything. But funny, you know, I know how to put the engineer first one. Then second one, of course, teacher, cikgu, teacher. Then my classmate next to me saw, wow, he saw engineer, he pulled away my curricular form and went in front of the class and announced. He said, Ken Kung want to become an engineer. The whole world engineer already. Why? Well, I last in the class. And I said, last in the class also become engineer, whole world also engineer. Then very funny, I don't feel hurt or unhappy. I said, laugh. End of the day, see who really laughs. The one that laughs last, laughs the best. And end of the day, you know what happened? My whole school, I was the only one that went into MU do civil engineering. There's another two classmates from my school did electrical. One of them went overseas first. Then second batch called in, only come back. So only two of us. For my whole school. Then that one, the second one that joined me, came from another school, Chinese school, Keat Huan. From my school, actually, I was the only one that went in. You cannot laugh. Last in the class, so what? That was standard two. And I said, after standard two, different. We are this nature, when it learns something, it learns very fast. And it learns beyond what people understand. So because of that, I recollect back, I have this type of contentment, easily supportable, simplicity. That is my virtue since birth. Then the next one is, not to burden others. I always have that consideration. I don't want to trouble people. No. But that gave me some karmic problem. You know what happened? My father, he know I can study. He was so concerned with me. Every day, because in my hometown, 9 o'clock, all the shop closed. No shop open already, 9 o'clock. Then I used to help my father close the shop, put in the door. You know, last time the door, one piece put on, then slide on, then lock everything. Then every day I clean the furniture and all those things. Then open up the shop, sweep the floor, and I did. We got 9 brothers and sisters, but I'm one of the person who did 94% of it. Oh. And I like to do. Then you know what happened. Because of what I did, I cannot remember what is it that I want to share with you. I don't want to burden people. Don't want to burden people. So it become a karmic problem. You know what happened or not? Because of what I did, my father liked me. He know I can study. He know I'm intelligent. Any problem, he will refer to me. And the whole family's problem, all I resolve. Every time I got problem, she will call. He will call me. Although I am PJK. Then I go back, I resolve them all. So what happened was, at night, he saw me after shop closed. I continue to study. But I did not study too late because the light on my father, they all cannot sleep. So I make sure 10 o'clock I will sleep. So my father knew. So every day, 9 o'clock, he will make me a Milo drink. Or a cup of hot drink. He scared I not enough nutrition and all that. And you know what I did or not? Because I don't like to burden people. You know what I say or not? I say, no, please, don't. And you know what happened? After I did that. Because unknowingly, by doing that, I actually create a karmic offense towards my father. Then later on, when I have my children, you ask my wife, you know, my son grew up. The same thing, when I try to make something for you, she said, don't, daddy, please. Unless I ask you, don't do. Walking back. That's why you cannot run. Then I laugh. I told my wife, karma, have to get it. My wife don't believe he tried. He also kena scolding from my son. Mom, please. I tell you. You cannot back, I tell you, you don't play a fool. But he understand. That's why after that he turned out. I said, sorry, Dad, Mom, I hope you understand. Then I said, nothing to do with you. It's my coming condition. So you have to be very careful. Good virtue also can bring about karmic. Because when I reject my father, I don't have right speech, understand? Then I show some dislike, Told you already, no need, like my son. I tell you. But because I don't want to burden him, I want him to sleep early, but he cannot understand me because I never say it out. Understand? So the way I communicate, I didn't know how to communicate the message. And that's why after that, I cannot. So karma is not what you think. You got negativity, only come out karma. The way you act that virtue, you don't know how to do it, it also leads to that. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very important. The way you communicate with people. Actually, I told my dad, thank you so much. But the next time, please, if I don't ask you to make, no need to make for you, for me. If I say like that, nothing happened to me. But I didn't say that. I just rejected him. I said, no need. Then sometimes I show some dislike. Already, inside my mind, I say, already told you no need. Every time you just do. And I doesn't like to burden people, understand, or trouble people. But he doesn't know my character. So because of that, you get yourself entangled. But this is not serious, understand? No? This is only get back what you did to your father. So your son do back to you, understand? No? Fair or not? So don't underestimate karma. Huh? Yeah. The next one is what? With few duties. How many of you got few duties? You got a hell of a lot of duties, a lot of things, responsible for so many things. That's why simplify your life, few duties. When you have contentment, you will have few duties. Then, simple in livelihood. Can you do it? That's why I retire early. I retire 40-something. Then they ask me, why you retire so early? Even my CEO, the managing director, asked me, so young you retire, what you do? I say I do what I like to do. He cannot understand. He said, you are at your prime, you are at your peak. You're so young, you retire. He cannot understand. I say, simple life. I don't need much to survive. I say, my two children didn't go overseas and my daughter graduated already. So I say, I got no problem supporting my family and myself. So I say, simple life. Then I also have this understanding, If I don't work, I make more money. You can understand that. You believe that. That was what actually happened to me. Then after that, I told my colleague, that colleague the next year also retired. And that colleague was only 35 years old. Well, he was younger than me, about 10 years old, I think. For 37. He was my good friend, financial controller, accountant. Then after he retired, he told me, hey, Tio, what you say is true. We make more money by retiring. When we don't work, we make more money. When we work, we make less money. Because we only make the salary, a lot go to tax. We don't work, we make more money. Because we got more time to do what? Investment. That's why if you understand, you must have contentment. Then, simple in livelihood. But if you don't have the skill in investment, please, don't go and quote Brother Teo. If Brother Teo say, retire early, make more money. Then you go and do. Then you end up lose money some more. Because you don't know how to invest. You cannot burn. Burn until hangus. Then you come and see me. Hey, Brother Teo, not true. What you say? So then, please, ask yourself, you didn't take care of karma, understand? If you take care of karma, like what we did, then blessing is there. Must have more dhanaparami, make more offering, donate more. You look at Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they do very well. It's because they have dhanaparami. The next criteria is what? Restrain, should not be the word control. Restrain in senses. You know what is restraint? I undertake the training rule not to do this. Means you exercise sense restraint. You are not suppressing it, not control it. You restrain because you know this is wrong. This lead to indulgence. This need to downfall, karmic negativity. That's why you exercise restraint. So restrain in your senses. Then you are very discreet. Very clear with what you want to do. Then you are not, what is the meaning of this? Impudent. Rude, Oh, good. Now I learned another English word. You are not rude. So, try to arise the third right effort. To do what? To cultivate the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. Do this. Then you are destined for enlightenment, nibbana. Really, you must have all this quality. Oh, again, time out. So fast, Okay, I just finish off this one. Because your meditation time, I don't think you can do 45 minutes. Most of you are half an hour or so walking around and doing, except a few. A few are very diligent. Early morning, before I start 6:15, find something already here. Then some down there listening to a chanting, following the Mahayana chanting, all these things. So this is the individual's understanding. Then some become very determined. Just now after the sharing, one of them came. He said, "Brother Teo, I want to go all the way. I am not going to wait anymore." He said, "Because this is serious," he said, "after hearing what you share." So these are the people who have the past. That's why they can have this determination, this faith. So what you need is your faith, your sincerity, your perseverance. Then you determine and you will be successful. Okay, the next one is not be greedily attached to family. This one I think very difficult for you all. Especially married couple. The word greedily, attached to family. You say, "But I attach only, I'm not greedy." Attached means you already have that emotion, understand or not? So if anything were to go wrong or happen to them, you worry for them. That is what attachment is. Why must you attach? You can love them, understand, with all your heart, with all your motherly love. But it is your duty, understand, love. Provide for them, care for them, do your duty. But understand that when something go wrong means not so real, not real. He know you, he know me, understand? Then your attachment is gone. That's why like the Buddha said, this body of ours, including your son, including your loved one, understand? Is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, understand? Sometimes be injured, accident or what. This is what nature is all about. And no reality. Yeah. So the Buddha make it very clear in his teaching, you cannot cling, because the five aggregate of grasping, the moment you cling and grasp, you suffer. So always remember that. So the Dhamma got two parts. Under ultimate truth, when you have the awakening, then you see everything as impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self, empty. That's how you free your mind. Otherwise, you cannot free your mind. But when it comes to the condition or law of karma, it recognizes relationship. And as well, you got a duty, you cannot simply do things. Otherwise, the karmic come back. So these are the two understanding. You have to understand ultimate truth and conventional reality, the nature's law, the Dhamma. That's why in the conventional reality, existential world, Dhamma exists. Four Noble Truth exists. Human being exists. Living being exists. There is I, me, born of my karma, heir to my karma. All this exists. So you don't be deceived and deluded. Everything use the ultimate Dhamma to say, "He know you, he know me, so do what you like." No, the conditioned world has its own rules and law. It's like you go to somebody's house. You can do what you like or not. Because that house is not yours, understand or not? You have to understand. So they have their house rules. They have their own set of procedure. So we need to have that understanding. Accord and flow, respect. Then do accordingly so that we don't create unnecessary misunderstanding, conflict, argument and all those things. Okay, the next one is he should not commit any slight wrong. Can or not? Not even the slightest wrong, no. How? You must be ever mindful, understand? And you must have the Dhamma. Otherwise, Nibbana not so fast. Understand? But when you can do this, you're very near already. Understand? Then, what else? They qualify it. So that the wise one might not censure you. Then you have this loving kindness. May all beings be well and safe or happy. May their hearts be well and happy. May there be love. May there be joy. May there be peace within their heart. And then that metta is related to all beings. Then the next part, the Metta Sutta say,
Whatsoever living beings, that are weak or strong, without exception, long or large, medium, short, minute or massive, those seen or unseen, those dwelling near or afar, and those born or yet to be born, see, so complete. May all these beings, without exception, be well and happy. Yeah. Then may their hearts too be well and happy, without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep in their heart. So all this, if you can radiate, then it is loving kindness from your heart, straight from your heart. Then the next paragraph, let not one deceive another, nor despise any person whatsoever anywhere. Means you cannot look down upon people, understand? You cannot even deceive or cheat with mental intention. Can you do it? You really have to have the precept, otherwise you will do all this. So even though the Buddha has told you what are the qualities you need to have to realize Nibbana, enlightenment, but most of these are not easy for normal people. But for cultivators who understand this is automatic, they will not violate. Then he even tell you, you cannot do this, means deceive or cheat people or despise people, either in anger or ill will. Then let him not wish each other's harm. When you are angry and have this aversion, dislike, or envy and jealousy, can you not wish each other harm? You cannot, you want to take revenge. You want to teach that guy a lesson. This guy, watch out, next time if I got condition or opportunity, I'm going to give him back. So all this is because you are angry at him, understand? You have aversion, you have ill will. Then sometimes because of envy, jealousy. So this negativity of mind state, the Buddha say, either in anger or ill will or any negativity of emotion, let him not wish each other harm. That's why you must have this kindness, this goodness, this love, so that you cannot harm people. And when you cannot harm people, you cannot get angry. Understand? The moment you get angry, the evil root there, chances are there, possibilities are there. So to become enlightened, you need this quality. Okay? Then just as a mother would guard her only son at the risk of her own life, even so towards all beings, let him cultivate the boundless love. So you have to have metta to all beings, understand? Including yourself, love yourself. Love yourself means what? Just like the way you protect your child, you love your child. You are willing to sacrifice for them. Give whatever you have. That's why there is no ulterior motive or what they call selfishness. Because you are really, with a mother's love, you can give everything. And this is true love. Means you don't think of any return or reward. There is no motive behind. Because you are the mother. You are willing to sacrifice, willing to give. So these are the virtue that you have to develop. The next one is what? Let thoughts of boundless love, means this universal love, metta, pervade the whole world, above, below, and across, without any boundary, without any hatred or enmity or obstruction. So you have to radiate. That's why they don't disturb them, because they receive this loving kindness, metta. Then whether he stand, walk, sit, or lie down, as long as he is awake, let him develop what? So what type of mindfulness is this? What type of mindfulness is this? No! Daily mindfulness, understand or not? You read again. Whether he stand, walk, sit, or lie down, as long as he is
Ah, whole day you awake or not?
You're still sleeping. Huh? That's why you're not awake.
So if this is what the Buddha said, let him develop mindfulness so clearly stated in the Metta Sutta, and you still don't believe daily mindfulness is important. You think sit and sit and sit, then the meditation becomes fantastic. Suddenly you become enlightened. Not this way, I tell you. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. No matter what type of meditation you do. Unless you got very special past cultivation you cultivate before. And then through sitting, you can awaken. No doubt about that. But if you don't have that, please don't gamble. You better follow what has been instructed or what has been taught. Then this, they say, is the highest what? Conduct. That's why my teacher Ajayantra say what? The highest meditation. The real meditation. I think he got it from here. Very likely. Last time I didn't know. Now got sense. Make sense. I think he got it from here, Metta Sutta. Where he got a lot of metta. Then the last one is what? Not falling into how to do that? How to do that? Not falling into wrong view. Straighten your view. Very good. Then the other one is associate with who? You associate with the fools or the Hitlers. How not to entangle yourself with wrong view? Understand? So not falling into wrong view means you have to avoid the condition that lead to heedlessness. Means you train your mind. Associate with the wise. Meet up with the wise. Avoid the foolish and the heedless. Then constantly cultivate to straighten your view. This is how you can develop the cultivation not to fall into wrong view. Then, virtuous. Yeah? I told you, virtuous. You must have virtue. Then, the next one. Endowed with true. What is true seeing? You think see truly. This is direct seeing. Understand? See things as they are. Not with your memory, your conditioning, your belief system. Your memory and your brain. No. That one is the conditioned mind. Your direct seeing is with your true mind. Then it will awaken. So virtuous and endowed with true direct seeing means insight. Then he discard what? Attachment to what? Can you do that? He said, discard attachment to sensual desire, understand or not? He never said discard good food. You understand or not? Attachment to good food, discard. Understand or not? But good food, got condition to eat, understand or not? He never said discard good food, understand or not? So a lot of people thought, I'm not enlightened. No. I must behave like an enlightened being. No. I cannot have desire for good food. No. But that is a desire, no, they said. Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? Good food means desire. If you don't have attachment, is it a desire? No, desire. You got condition to eat. Like the Buddha, you think he eat simple food. When he go to the palace, the king invite him. He eat good food, understand? It depends on your understanding. As long as you don't attack, got condition to have, you can have. But don't overeat, understand? Don't indulge. Sensual indulgence is also a craving, a desire, an attachment. Then next time you don't have your mind crave for it. So for me, got condition, no condition, same. Because I eat whatever that is given. If you have this type of mind, then you got no problem. If you are very picky and you have certain type of craving and desire, you must have those food. Then your mind become different, afflicted. It has problem. So this part is very important. Discard attachment to sensual desire. So the word is attachment. Then truly, he does not come again to be conceived in a womb. Means what? No more rebirth. Means you at least arahant already. So want to be an arahant or not? Achancha say don't try to be an arahant. The moment you try to be an arahant, you can never be an arahant. Because of what? That trying is a craving, understand? Where you want to be an arahant. An arahant is a becoming when you have craving. But when you meditate with understanding, then the understanding unfolds. That form and mind realizes arahant, understand? But that form and mind is not you, understand? That's why you don't try to become an arahant. You develop the cultivation, to develop the wisdom, the awakening, connected to that form and mind. That form and mind that is connected, no longer deluded, then it has ceased all the 10 fetters, no more rebirth consciousness. That's how the arahant don't take rebirth. But arahant is not you, it's the form and mind, the karmically conditioned form and mind. So don't be deceived. That's why all the enlightened beings, they know that one is not real, not them. But because it's connected to their nature, and when they awaken to that cultivation, then this wisdom is connected to it, then this form and mind become enlightened. But it's not them. That's why it's very clear to them. That's why in the Heart Sutta, there is no attainment. Nothing. Nobody attained. Nobody enlightened. Okay, so this is the Karaniya Metta Sutta that I want to share, and now you can meditate. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.